Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people of whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Milton City Council acknowledges the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Kulin Nation people, the elders and descendants past and present, and all other nationalities who make up our ever-growing and ever-exciting community. Thank you. Please be seated. Apologies and leave of absence.
Everybody but me.
Apologise, you mean?
No.
Mr. Mayor, we have apologies from Councillors Carley and Nabushi.
Change of the order of business.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move items 13 and 14 of the agenda to be held concurrently, with the councillors speaking up to 3 minutes each and the Mayor up to 5 minutes, please.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay.
I'll second that motion, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Deputations?
Nil, Mr. Mayor.
Declaration of pecuniary interest, other interest, of conflict of interest of any councillor? No. Adoption of the minutes of the previous meeting?
I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 29th of April 2019 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Moved by Councillor Medlick.
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsay. So moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose? I declare the motion carried. Record of Assembly of Councillors.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the record of Assembly of Councillors dated 29th of April and the 6th, 13th and 20th of May 2019 attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Moved by Councillor Medlick. Do you have a seconder?
I'd like to second that,
seconded
Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsay. So moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Correspondence inwards. Inward correspondence this month. Jacqueline Sims, MP, Minister for Agriculture, request to list the common miner as an established pest animal. Oliver Holm, General Manager of South East Infrastructure Investment, City of Melton's infrastructure priorities, including the Western Highway. And Jerome Weimer, Chief Executive Officer for Public Transport Victoria, Diggers Rest Station, and toilet facilities.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick.
I'd like to second it, Mr. Mayor.
So, moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose? I declare it carried. Petitions and joint letters?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Resumption of debate or other business?
Mr. Mayor, the report table within this section of the agenda was presented to a previous meeting and Council asked for it to be deferred for to seek further information. So I will now present that report to Council. Council adopted at its ordinary meeting held on the 4th of March 2019 a notice of motion put forward by Councillor Kesich that reads as follows. The Council officers provide a report in relation to the contract with the Civic Group for the Melton Hospital Advocacy Project, detailing the following. Expenditure to date and under contract, current status of the contract and the advocacy program, any outstanding items or deliverables under the contract, and anticipated completion date of the contract. As I stated, Council formally resolved to tender for the development of an advocacy campaign for the establishment of a major public hospital in the City of Melton at its ordinary meeting held on 17 December 2017. Included within this was authorising expenditure of up to an amount of $350,000. Tenders were then sought, invited, and submissions were closed on the 5th of March. Council then, through its due diligence process, awarded a three-year contract to the Civic Group at its meeting of the 26th of March 2018, which provided for a fee-for-service contract that could be scaled according to the need and achievement of campaign milestones, successes and any political outcomes. It was primarily established a focused effort to advocate for a new public hospital in Melton in the lead-up to the November 2018 Victorian election. The campaign had the following objectives. In the lead-up to this state election, a secure commitment from all major parties to fund the Melton Hospital, and that the elected state government commit to commencing construction of the Melton Hospital by July 2022. The Civic Group was engaged to fundamentally address four key things. They were to develop a campaign strategy, undertake research to establish an evidence base for a hospital in Melton and inform the strategy, assist with development of campaign creative and materials, and provide ongoing campaign strategy support. Public-facing campaign was launched 100 days out from the November 2018 state election, which involved community engagement activity, a dedicated website, media and social media, advertising and government relations. Through postcards and emails, the campaign achieved more than 21,300 people supporting the need for a public hospital in Melton, which culminated with public commitments from the Greens and Labor parties for a business case. The Andrews Labor government was re-elected and made the following election commitments, which were actually honoured in their announcement today. Today's announcement was for a $2.4 million commitment over a two-year period to establish a business case for a public hospital to be established in Melton. But the second part of that was the intention to acquire land through the Growth Areas Infrastructure Contribution Fund, which is going through the mechanics of that at the moment but are yet to be determined. To date, a total of $259,479.70 has been expended against the authorised $350,000 budget. A total of $207,800.19 has been paid to the Civic Group under the contract, with a significant component of this amount being put against covering the research costs. This leaves a balance of $90,520 remaining under the authorised $350,000 budget, and there are no current commitments. Following the November 2018 election, Council's advocacy effort has been to focus on actively engaging the newly elected Victorian Government, given a commitment to the business case has been made. With this approach, the contract with the Civic Group reached a natural pause in December 2018. The three-year contract with the Civic Group is due to expire on the 27th of March 2021. However, there is an option for 2 one-year extensions past that date, should Council choose to take up that option. While the contract is concurrent, the Civic Group are not currently engaged to undertake any work. And under the contract, the Civic Group are to provide a quote for any work that is required by Council in accordance with the schedule of rates that are set out in that contract. This provides Council with the flexibility to engage the contractor if and when required. There are no set financial commitments for the contractor, nor is Council obliged to provide a minimum number of requests for quotes. Given there is no further obligation, it is considered practical to maintain the existing contract should Council wish to provide specialist services, avoiding the need to undertake another formal procurement process. The need to undertake further campaign activity will be dependent upon continued review and assessment of the progression of the Melton Hospital outcomes with our new Victorian Government. With that stated to Council, Mr Mayor, I put the recommendation to Council. The Council simply note the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr Bean. Councillors, do you have a mover for the motion?
I'm happy to move this, Mr Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Medley.
Mr Mayor, could I seek clarification?
Of course.
Would that be okay? Because we've done the due diligence with the Civic Group and that goes till 2021. If we decided now that to suspend that, but in early 2021 we decided we needed to ramp it up because even though the announcement's been made for the 2.4, we needed to see some sod being turned in the not too distant future, would we have to go through the same due diligence again with the Civic Group or any, because we've basically done that, or
I think to answer your question through, Mr. Mayor, to Councillor Ramsay, if we were to terminate the contract now, which we have capacity to do with some conditions attached to it, non-financial, if we wanted to enact another advocacy campaign at some later stage, regardless of the time frame, we would need to go through another due diligence process.
With the due diligence process, what sort of dollars are attached to that?
I mean, a lot of the dollars attached to that are what you would deem as absorbed costs in officer time, and we had an independent person who gave us their time to go through the whole assessment process with us, but it was a panel of four people. I mean, there's the standard advertising that's required. I guess we could leverage off the existing documentation that we've used as far as seeking an expression of interest, but that may need requirement to, I guess, review it and ensure that it's sort of compliant with any legislative changes that may have happened.
Do you foresee anything in the next 18 months that needs real attention to this campaign?
I guess it's fair to say that we were waiting to see the outcome of both the federal election and the announcement of the state government budget to determine what our next steps would be, and that's why we've sat in a hiatus period since December 2018, because we didn't feel that there was any further work that needed to be done other than to wait for the Andrews government's commitments for the business case. The second part of our campaign to the government was to gain a commitment that a sod would be turned by July 2022. In the precursor to the next state government election. So our work now would be proposed to be around trying to work through the government to get some level of commitment for that.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I know I moved it, but could I just get clarification? Councillor Ramsay mentioned the financial aspect of cutting off our ties now with this contract. What are the time frames should we need, like, should we cancel this contract? What would actually be the time frame to go through all the due diligence and the advertising and everything like that?
Well, firstly, just to clarify, if we terminate the contract now, we're just required to give them 6 weeks' notice.
Yeah.
So that's the time frame for that. The reality is, with to go through the process today, and I would propose that we would be putting it through a council meetings cycle, both to engage this and then to determine on the contract. So you're largely governed by council meeting cycles that may well take three, if not four, meeting cycles to go from end-to-end process.
So that would be about 3 to 4 months. Yeah. Is that included, the panel here, for the advertising?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I would have alternative notice. So.
Does any other councillor need any clarification?
You've got a mover, you don't have a second.
I've got a mover for this motion. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Sorry, I didn't hear.
I have a mover for the motion already.
Do I have a seconder?
Okay, Councillor Kesich.
Mr. Mayor, this contract was for the sole purpose to advocate on behalf of the council for the building of Melton Hospital. Project. The project was well and truly completed with an answer of the 2.4 million by the state government, and therefore no need to continue the contract. I now move that this contract be fulfilled and finalised. Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Kesich, an alternate motion.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by.
I'll second the motion.
Seconded by
Councillor
Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I oppose.
Okay. You oppose? Okay. On you go. Would you like to speak first, Councillor Kesich?
No, thank you. I just.
Okay. Councillor Medley.
Mr. Mayor, in regards to cancelling this contract that we have at the moment, we've heard that. If we just leave it as is, the money actually is still remaining in our financial care, so it's not in anyone else's bank account except the council's. And if we need to ramp it up, we've got easy access and convenience, as the council officers have reported in this report, that it's convenient to keep that option open for council should we need to ramp up the hospital campaign, which I'm sure we will in the very near future because we haven't achieved all our goals. We've achieved some of our goals, but not all of them. So I think that if we leave it open and we have that access there, the availability to access this this contract, I believe it's a wise decision because, as we know, anything can happen in government. Ministers could change, things could come up, there could be a potential grant or whatever. Should we cancel it and then we all of a sudden need it? We heard from Mr. Peter Bean that we need 3 to 4 months at least, and we're talking at least, if there's a Christmas period that's even longer, to reinstate something of this nature. So I think out of convenience, Mr. Mayor, and out of due diligence, I think we should leave it as is.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, let me congratulate the state government on their commitment to $2.3 million to the first for the business plan for the Melton Hospital. That has been committed. That is in the budget. That
is it only 2.3? I thought it was 2.4.
$2.3 million.
So he's trimmed 100,000 off.
It was never 2.4, it was always 2.3. That the first part of that is that the commitment by the state government and by the Treasurer to the build program of the Melton Hospital. To the form, when there was a contract issued, it wasn't open-ended. It had milestones, and if I may, Mr. Mayor, the City of Melton asked that the lead-up to the 2018 election, the state government commits to funding a business case for Melton Hospital. Further, council asked the state government commit to commencing construction, etc., to 2022. The first part is done. It's up to council, and we have a state member, and we have a federal member who have also committed to the public hospital for Melton. There's the advocacy. They're the people who make the changes necessary, and they're the ones who put in the budget, not a lobby group. The lobby group has done its job. If we need to revisit, we'll revisit. But the bottom line is we've gone through a great stage here. The council, the lobby group, the community have done great efforts to get this project where it is. There is a community out there who are activated if there's a need. The community are the people who will activate. It won't be a lobby group. It'll be the community who will demand if there is not going to be a further commitment. So at this point in time, Mr. Mayor, the contract has been fulfilled. I think a letter should be forwarded on to the civic group, a thank you letter for their great diligence and their commitment to ensuring that the 2.3 was advocated and committed to by the state government. And if we need to, we can always go back. But the community at this point in time, Mr. Mayor, are the ones who will activate and ensure that governments do fulfil the promise. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Kesich. Matt, does any other councillor wish to speak? Councillor Ramsey.
Do you want to go, Michelle, first?
If she wants to speak, Michelle.
It's an advocacy campaign, and we've got the business case, and I thank all the residents for putting petitions and everything, and people have worked really hard over the last few years. This has been a long road to get to this point, but it's not finished yet. And until it's concrete and it's standing up, we need an advocate, everybody on board, because it's just a business case. And it may not happen from that business case. You know, they might decide that they're not going to do it. You might have a change of government. So we've got to have that advocacy behind us to be able to move forward. If we take that away, then the executive has got to find other avenues. And I think, well, we've got that money there and we need to keep it there. I don't want to cease any contract that's going to stop any advocacy for a campaign like this in Melton. All right? It's brilliant what we've done, but if we do that now, we're going to possibly shoot ourselves in the foot. And I don't want to see that happen because we've worked really hard. And if you've been in an emergency department in the last few years, you'd understand we need that hospital. Yeah. We need it badly. So don't take money away.
Well, thank you. Councillor Ramsey.
I agree with most of the speakers so far. We set out a budget. We had a 100-day campaign, and Mr. Mayor, you did an honourable job, as did all the councillors. The civic group provided the platform, the postcards and everything else, but I believe that that part of the campaign is now done and dusted. We've got $90,000 sitting there, and just like everything, sometimes there's a great organisation or advocacy group that can bring us to a certain point, and then we need possibly another group to take it down the next phase with different smarts and abilities, and I don't want to limit ourselves to it. There's lots of money, there's lots of things our community can do with the $90,000, and I applaud the 21,300 people that signed the postcards, but I believe that at this point now, the money, the 2.4 has been pledged. We may need to go out to the market again and revisit who the experts are in the field for the next stage of lobbying that we need to do. And maybe civic group, it may be another group, and I think that will become crystal clear in the next 12 to 18 months, rather than holding someone there. We've paid for the advocacy, we've paid for the paraphernalia that we've been given, and we've got 21,000 community members plus on board advocating on our behalf, and it's those voters that got this campaign over the line. So I could argue either way on this one, but I think keeping $90,000 of ratepayers' money in mothballs whilst we wait to see what the next chain of events will be, I think we need to test out the community or the marketplace again and see if there's not a more appropriate person to take us through the next phase.
Councillor Kesich. Okay. The alternate motion moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Can I have a show of hands supporting the motion, please? Against the motion? I declare the motion lost. On my casting vote.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to resort to the original motion that the Council note the report. I'd like to move that Council notes the report on item 10.1.
Moved by Councillor Millick. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Councillor Mendez. Does any councillor wish to speak against the motion? Does any councillor oppose the motion?
Yes, sir.
You're going to do it. Councillor Miller, would you like to speak first?
Mr. Mayor, I think everything that has needs to be said has been said, except I just wanted to add that some of the councillors noted that another 12 to 15 months. I don't want to wait another 10, 12, 15 months. I've been on this council for 11 years and the hospital's always been our number one priority. Now that we've got some traction and some momentum, why wait another 18 or 15 or whatever months? We need it immediately. We've heard from Councillor Mendez and we all know in this sitting down here in this room that we desperately need a hospital for Melton. No one disputes that. So why would we go through all the process again? We've already done the tender. We've done our due diligence. I don't want to wait another 12 to 15 months, Mr. Mayor. We're getting traction now. Why don't we just run with it? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree that we need a hospital, but I think it's a long, long way to go, and we should check in the market. Is it anybody better with some new ideas? I wouldn't like to be tied for one group. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mendes.
I don't agree with Councillor Kesich. Sorry. What I've seen in recent years in hospitals and that, I think if we keep being slow, we're never going to get anywhere. I believe, Councillor Majelik, that we need to be on the ball. We've got the business case. We need to keep pushing it. And if you keep going out to tender, you're going to cost yourselves more money. It's time. We're wasting time. I want to see this hospital happen as fast as it can. 10 years or more we've been campaigning for this. people in Melton, walking the streets with petitions. You know, and I congratulate those people today because they've actually achieved something that's been taken a long time. And I don't want to see it take another 15 years because what's the point of ever having the business case in the first place? You've got overcrowded emergency departments. Things that I saw last week was no pillows, no blankets. It's a disgrace. So we need to move it forward and really push it now. We're very, very fortunate to have this, so let's move on it now, not in 12 years. Please don't.
Thank you. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At this point in time, once the state government has allocated the money for the business case, and I'll just quote the headings, Department of Health and Human Services now has the project. And their position is to identify the services, the public hospital system, the community, the residents. And they go through all sorts of things, and they go through infrastructure planning and delivery and all those areas that you're saying that a potential advocacy group will. They won't. The Department of Health and Human Services don't do that. The lead-up, yes, but not once it's been handed internal government. They don't have advocacy there. The issue now is, right, that the Premier and the Treasurer have identified the issue, are moving with the issue. The State Member and the Federal Member have control of, let's say, some of those advocacy positions because two-thirds of the money comes from the Federal Government. One third from the state government. And that's how it works. So the bottom line is advocacy groups, wonderful job. Hospital, nobody's arguing. It is necessary. It has got to a stage now where the federal and state members will have control of the agenda. We will be definitely playing a role there. But it is with the Department of Health and Human Services who will report back to those state and federal members and also council where it's going to be. The land issue is they will nobody else. The land is the controlling component of the agenda. Once the land is identified and secured, that sets the, let's say, the program forward. Nothing else. So you can have the advocacies and everything else. All this community here will be advocating on behalf of the hospital. There's no doubt about that. To have an open-ended contract is counterproductive. It is, because you're leaving the both ends open, saying at any point in time, can do, can't do. So it goes around a table here and we say, we want it upgraded, we want more advocacy, less advocacy. It doesn't work that way. It just simply doesn't work. So, Mr. Mayor, all I can say is it sits with the Department of Health and Human Services at this point in time, and they will be visited by the state and federal member. If you want to advocate, that's where you've got to go. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you.
Councillor Ramsey, would you like to say something?
Yeah, all I wanted to say was that in the second paragraph of the executive summary, the last line says, while there is no current commitments, the contract remains open, providing flexibility to procure specialist services should they be required. Now, we've galvanised 21,370 people. Everybody's talking about an advocacy campaign that needs to continue because the state of affairs in our emergency facilities, but also our hospitals in large, are appalling. $90,000 isn't going to cut it. If we're serious about it, we should be putting more money in. So at the end of the day, if... the report says that council note the report. That doesn't say council's going to go out and advocate and embrace what we've done in the last 100 days. That's not going to say let's add another $500,000 and really give it to the government. It doesn't say what my fellow councillors are saying. It's basically saying this is what's been delivered to date. This is the announcement that's to date. The contract remains open, providing flexibility, but there's no current commitments as yet. So we've got to make a stand as a council. If we're serious about making that change and continuing this advocacy campaign, well then let's start injecting our ratepayers' dollars into it and start holding them to ransom. And if Civic Group is the chosen group, well, let's make them accountable and let's make the bill date and the turning of the sod. Because if no one wants to wait a couple of years, that's fine. I'll be front and centre with all of you. But this report, the way it's been written, is basically saying they've done their job. We're going to leave 90,000 there just in case we need them one day. And there's no current commitment. So council needs to be true to itself and work out whether, do you want to continue that advocacy campaign? If you want, and that's what I'm hearing, then let's start injecting some money and let's ram it down their throat until they build the bloody thing. Sorry, until they build Melton's hospital. Thank you.
Councillor Ramsay. Move by Councillor Medlick.
Mr Mayor, I've got close.
Would you like to finish up?
Yes, Mr Mayor. I am a little bit confused with Councillor Ramsay's comments because in her last comments she said that the 90-odd thousand's going to remain there collecting mothballs or dust. And now, and sorry, Councillor Ramsay, I'll let you talk. So, and now she's saying that let's inject more. We're happy to inject more. However, we had agreed as a council to inject a certain amount, which was $350,000. We went to tender, and this is the contract group that council, this council, not so long ago, chose to give the contract to. They are specialists in this area, Mr Mayor. We've noticed that I don't deny that our residents have been working hard. I'll never deny that they have been working their butts off, Mr Mayor, even for longer than 10 years, even before I've been on the scene, I'm sure. This council has worked hard, but we cannot deny that with the revamping, stepping it up, that with that professional advice and that professionalism with the campaign, we cannot deny that we did receive something which is more than what we've received so far. So obviously they've achieved what we've set out to achieve. Let's not stop the momentum now. Let's keep going. Let's not cancel this contract. It's not an open-ended contract, Councillor Hardy. It actually finishes in 2022 or 2021. Am I correct? It's not an open contract. 2021, read the details. You're the contract expert, Councillor Hardy. So, Mr Mayor, let's keep the momentum going. We need to build this hospital. We need it for our residents. We need it for our sick residents. Let's do this, Mr Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Okay, moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Mendes. All those in favour of the motion? All those against the motion? I declare the motion won on my casting vote. Public question time.
Could I ask for a division, Mr Mayor?
Yep, of course. All those in favour? Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, Councillor Medlick. Those against? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kissage.
Public questions. Mr Mayor, thank you. We have submissions from five people this evening. First one is from Henry Progill. Is Henry here? Thanks, Henry. And Henry's question is, now that the 2018 Melbourne Airport Master Plan has been approved by the Federal Minister for Infrastructure, Transport and Regional Development, what is Council's position on aligning the existing Melbourne Airport Environs Overlay Schedule 1 and 2 with the new ANEF, which stands for Australian Noise Exposure Forecast, set out in the 2018 Master Plan, and will Melton City Council Planning Department initiate this realignment with the Victorian Planning Authority? I'll ask Mr Les Stokes, Acting General Manager Planning and Development, to respond to that question.
Thank you, Henry, for your question. Now that the Master Plan has been approved, the State Government has indicated that the Council will carry out a holistic review of the airport environments overlay control, including the extent to which the overlay will apply, and any text changes in our planning scheme and other planning schemes that are affected by the overlay will also be reviewed. This process will be driven by the State Government, the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning, rather than individual councils, owing that it is of state significance. The timing of this review is uncertain at the moment. However, the Master Plan itself, on page 261, provides some certainty that they do intend to carry out a review. Council officers at the last meeting of the Community Aviation Consultation Group received advice from the department representative that that they do intend to conduct the review around the airport safeguarding, and that the review would take place in the latter half of this year once the Commonwealth Minister had approved the master plan.
The next question is from David O'Connor. I see David in the front row. The first question of David's two questions is, would Council please provide cost estimates to undertake additional consultation with residents and stakeholders in Diggers Rest regarding the newly established off-leash dog park? I'll also ask Les Stokes to respond to that question.
Thank you, David, for your question. Proposed to write to you clarifying the consultation process to date. However, the community was consulted at the time of the master plan for the reserve was undertaken, and I'll detail that in my response. However, should council conduct some further consultation in this regard, it's estimated that the cost of this consultation, assuming that we would issue printed flyers to 1,800 residents and use our own social media avenues to advertise that consultation and also provide staff, for example, to a Saturday consultation session, total cost of just over $3,000 would be the cost for such exercise.
Sure. Thank you. Next question also from Mr. O'Connor reads, it's understood that the residential subdivision in Diggers Rest, known as Alexander Park, is yet to be titled. In accordance with the approved precinct structure plan, it's further understood that a roundabout is proposed to be built at Vineyard and Licence Road. Would Council please provide an update with respect to the current status of the roundabout and confirm the relationship, if any, to the development of the Alexander Park estate and its reliance on the roundabout within the planning process? Again, I'll call on Mr. Stokes to respond to that question.
Thank you for your second question, David. There's a few answers in parts to this. So the roundabout at Vineyard Road and Licence Road will be delivered by the developers of the Bloomdale Estate, and it's incorporated within their planning permit. You're right, the roundabout is positioned such that it encroaches on the allotment known as Alexander Park Estate. Given this, negotiations are occurring currently between those two developers to allow construction of the roundabout. The endorsed planning permit for Alexander Park development shows the first stage having access to the roundabout at Vineyard Road and Licence Road. However, council officers are also liaising with that developer, the Alexander Park development, to consider alternate access options that would allow their development to commence independently, i.e. not relying on the construction by Bloomdale Estate. That's the current status.
The next two questions are from a person with the name of Mark. Is Mark from Charcoal Chicken? Yep, thanks. I'll read both of Mark's questions out together and then Liz can answer them separately because they both relate to the same matter. Question one is, with the parking out the back of the shops full between 5:30pm and 8:30pm, this is the shopping precinct on the corner of Goulet Road and Hume Road in Caroline Springs, Townsville. Where would our customers park if the car park is closed and we will lose our customers because it would not be convenient for our customers to park across the street at Coles where there is other food retailers, so why would they cross the road to come to us when there are shops closer to them? And the second question is, we are a family business and without a car park for our customers, how will we pay our bills? And once the car park is done and the new shops are built, can you tell me who would park on a two-storey car park to order some chips when they can park across the road and walk straight into KFC and not have to walk a flight of stairs? Thanks, Mark. Just think about the decision you'll be making because it will be affecting a lot of small businesses run by families. Thank you, Mark. Liz will again respond to these last two questions.
Yes, thank you, Mark, for your questions. The answer to your questions obviously relates to the proposed retail development, which is being considered tonight by Council in item 12.8. So I answer your questions with that in mind, that there's no current endorsed position of Council. However, Council understands that during the construction phase of the proposed development, the existing car park for the existing retail premises of which you occupy will not be available. The applicant, however, has demonstrated that during this period, car parking will still be accessible to customers from existing on-street parking in Hume Drive and Becker Way. And as you note in your question, via the Taylors Hill shopping centre opposite. Following completion of that, the works of the development, 67 car parking spaces will be provided within the new building, with both the that will service both the existing and new retail premises. Further, it is recommended in item 12.8 that the applicant enter into a section 173 agreement with council to allow access in perpetuity to the proposed car park for the existing 13 retail premises. Also, in the event that the permit is issued, it will require a traffic management plan to be provided to councils for council's review to address the interim parking arrangements during the construction period, and expert traffic advice will be prepared to substantiate how this may work.
Okay, that concludes public questions, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Presentation of staff reports.
Mr. Mayor, could I move that agenda items 12.1, 12.2, 12.3, 12.5 and 12.9 be accepted as per officer's recommendation?
Move by Councillor Medley.
I move this.
You have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose? I declare the motion carried. 12.4, Friendship Cities. Mr. Bean? Oh, sorry, Sam.
Thank you, Mayor. The purpose of the report is to provide advice to Council in response to a request to establish a friendship city relationship. Council has been approached to consider the establishment of a friendship city program with the City of Hayes in China. This follows a visit by representatives from the city in June 2017. Council does not have any existing friendship or sister city partnerships in place, although it has been explored. It has explored the establishment of such relationships over recent years. The report provides an overview of friendship and sister city programs and key considerations establishing any relationship. According to Sister Cities Australia, there are 267 identified city councils in Australia that have a sister city affiliation, either within Australia or overseas. Japan and China alone constitute 46% of relationships nationally, and this pattern is reflected across almost all jurisdictions. This is more than likely reflects the role of these two countries as key trading partners and the proactive role of organisations and individuals, local governments in both nations seeking relationships with Australian councils. The City of Hayes is located in the southwest of Shandong province in China. It has a population of over a million people and it's an agricultural city. The letter of intent from City of Hayes outlines the principle which we will underpin the friendship city, the economy, trade, science, technology, culture, amongst other benefits. Council has the option to exploring strategic international relationships in partnership with Western Region Councils or other regional bodies such as Lead West or the West of Melbourne Economic Development Alliance. It is important to note that establishment of any international relationship needs to be viewed as long-term in nature and investment and resources. Meaningful outcomes are more so realised over a long period of time. Whatever the relationship model, logical starting point to establish any international ties is to have clear objectives and desired outcomes scoped aligned to long-term vision of Council. Until Council undertake a strategic review of the desired outcomes from such a relationship and evaluate them, it is difficult to measure benefits. The options for Council to consider are A, to proceed to establish friendship city relationship with City of Hayes, B, further investigate the establishment of a friendship or sister city relationship with another city considered a high value prospect to deliver the meaningful long-term community and economic outcomes. C, propose the Lead West Group that an international relationship be explored based on the North Link model, underpinned by clear and viable economic and community objectives geared to delivering meaningful and long-term outcomes for the Melton community. Or D, take any further action. It is recommended Council propose a Lead West Group that international relationship be explored based on the Northern Link model or the North Link model.
Thank you, Mr. Amaro. Does any Councillor have any clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I've got a question. In regards to the recommendation, does that mean that the Lead West Group will actually explore whether the City of Heze is actually appropriate for council, or will they just take it on board that it's this particular city that we're exploring based on the North Link model? And will they also make recommendations as to whether they we should go forward or not?
I can answer that. Through Mr. Mayor, Councillor Majlik, we haven't necessarily approached the Leadworth group in regards to this. As you know, there's a report tonight for a proposal for the Leadworth profile. But we've, again, that when you look at the comparison to the City of Heze compared to council, I mean, we're 163,000 population, they're 8.3 million. We're largely considered a growing interface council, so largely population-based, particularly over time. They are heavily geared towards agriculture and farming and those sorts of things. So on face value here, there's not a lot of comparatives between this particular opportunity and us. But when we look at it from potentially a Western region opportunity, it's perhaps better placed from a population base and from a diversification from sort of farmland and agriculture and industry as well. So in working through this, we know the North Link model, where the actual northern group of councils head up a number of friendship relationships based on this sort of a model, and we believe that there's greater benefit to the western region with cities such as this proposition from a more collective basis than just from a site-specific Melton Council basis. So the long-winded answer to your question is we haven't approached them about this, but we would be using this as an example as to how Leadworth could benefit the western region by considering options such as this.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I understand what you're saying, Mr. Bean, but would they also potentially consider somebody that's a bit more comparable to the western region, say, for example? Like, they're not just going to look at this particular city, are they?
No. Through Mr. Mayor, Councillor Magic, in our readings, there's one particular council that has 8 friendship relationships with a number of councils both in Asia and in Europe. So they, I guess, pick the best out of each of those relationships to the betterment of themselves. I could imagine that would be incredibly resource-intensive to be servicing those sorts of things, but that's a strong link that council wanted to create, and we would envisage that, again, the collective of the councils in the western region would have greater capacity to be able to service multiple numbers of these relationships than one council would.
Okay.
Councillor Ramsey.
I'm basically following from Councillor Maidlick. I know when Councillor Maidlick was the mayor, she journeyed across to China at her own expense, mind you, and saw a number of different regions, a number of different cities. And whilst I was the mayor, I was approached also in regards to this particular city and others. And I know it's very important for the city of China to formulate these friendship cities or sister city relationships. What I want to see from this sort of arrangement going forward isn't a nice bit of cultural history plate or paraphernalia on a wall somewhere. I want it to be substantive and meaningful, and I want to see both cities learn from one another, shared experiences, shared opportunities and stuff along that line, because we need to learn from other councils or other countries, just like we need to, and they need to learn from us as well. So I totally agree with Councillor Maidlick. I don't want it to be just the one city that gets proposed. I want to see from Leadworth or whoever the case may be, or whatever model we end up going with, is the best, most suited and most fitted to the City of Melton and its growth chapter going from 2019 onwards.
Thank you. Any other councillor wish to speak? Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got an alternative based on a similar model, but principally it's based on economic, friendship and also city-sister relationship with a yet-to-be-determined name of whoever, whatever. But it's got to be based on meaningful conversations, dialogue, and also
economic outcomes that will benefit Melton. And once that has been identified, you can go forward, right, government, who have business relationships, and they also have embassies based all around the PRC, People's Republic of China, where we can tap into to get those sort of the data that will match us and also the best outcomes. It is just simply using the tools that are available to us prior to making a decision. So it is a motion similar to, but it does have the alternate in there that it's yet to be determined and the relationship's got to be based on economic, dialogue, which is principal, economic outcomes, and a relationship that benefits Melton. So that is what I'm putting forward as the alternate, rather than what we've got here. The motions we've got here, or the recommendations, Mr. Mayor, are quite adequate, but there's a little bit more we can add to it to actually make sure that Melton gets the net benefit it solely and justly reserves, by the way.
Mr. Mayor, just a point of order. Was there a question in that? Because I believe we're asking for questions.
It's okay. Move on. Is any other council wish to speak? So, Councillor Hardy has come up with an alternate motion. Moved by Councillor Hardy.
Mr. Mayor, can we have that motion again? Because it was... Okay. But only the motion, not the...
Okay, yeah.
The prelude.
The council...
Not the prelude.
Okay. Can I start that again? That council?
I'm happy. Thank you.
Okay. The council undertake further investigations into an international relationship with a yet-to-be-determined friendship or sister-city relationship underpinned by meaningful and economic outcomes for the City of Melton. This is to be followed up with a further report back to Council for determination outlining these economic outcomes and potential financial considerations to the City of Melton by way of friendship or sister-city international relationship.
Okay, now I've got a question.
Councillor Ramsey.
I fully concur with what you've said, but we've taken now the Lead West Group out and the North Link model out. Now, by doing that, your foreshadowed motion reads like Council's going to do all that work.
Council needs to do that work before going to Lead West, because Lead West is a multiplicity of councils.
Yep. Okay. Now, but Council hasn't got the experience to do that. I'm not cross-examining you, Councillor Hardy.
I'm happy to do that.
I'm just trying to work out how we can phrase the recommendation or the notice of motion to get advice from Lead West and also the North, and basing it on like a North Link model, but with the report coming back to Council, it being based on economic and business strategies going forward without, friendship or a sister city, all that sort of stuff being
put in. Different relationships, yes.
But that whole
thing... To answer your question, Councillor Ramsey, Victorian government has that embassies in the major cities in the PRC, the People's Republic of China, and also Europe and Americas and anywhere else you want to go. These are the resources you would tap into. The Northwest did the same thing. Lead West would be doing the same thing. What I'm advocating, we do it. We find out what best suits our modelling, and then we can go forward to form a partnership with Lead West or any other councils that have similar outcomes to what we want. Otherwise, we're going to be told what everybody else wants, and as we've known in the past, we've always been the poor sister.
Okay. Mr. Bean, if I could, through you, Mr. Mayor, have we got the ability to do the exploratory stuff through staff, or is it better that we go through these sort of agencies or groups?
My understanding, my interpretation of Councillor Hardy's proposed motion is that it is to do the investigation and bring a report back to Council for it to further consider the opportunity. So, we can do that in-house. I have no concerns of that. And I think, picking up on what you've just said, it would be relevant to compare what a standalone model for Council would be and then compare it against what maybe a
collective or Lead West model would be would probably have some relevance to come back to council to give it a choice of A or B.
How do we differentiate between City A and City B and City C and City D just on face value?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think you're probably getting ahead of the process here. I think you need to determine what it would be from the point of view of an evaluation tool as to how we would go about determining what is best fit for us.
All right.
And then I think thereafter we would probably then, because Councillor Hardy can correct me if I'm wrong, but there are elements within the state government or agencies within the state government that assist councils in this sort of decision-making process, so we would probably draw on those that knowledge base to assist us.
Correct.
Any further questions or comments, councillors?
So, Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, Councillor Hardy's alternate, that would still include looking at the briefing that we receive, because that's what he's asking for, a brief to come back to council. The Western region model would still be there, because I concur with Councillor Bean, with Mr. Bean, that I think maybe not an individual relationship would probably benefit us, but as a whole of a region, the Western region, like the North Link model, as it states in the report, I think that would be a good idea. So would that still be an option coming back to us in a briefing?
Yeah, I would be proposing that's how I would structure back to council.
Okay. Thank you,
Mr. Mayor. If I may, Mr. Mayor, right, nothing's off the table.
No.
Could I second the notice of motion or the...
Moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose the motion? They'll turn the motion. All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Mr. Stokes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, this report responds to a petition that was received at the ordinary meeting of council on Monday, 4 February 2019, requesting that council investigate the opportunity for additional parking within the Cradle Road shopping precinct in Diggers Rest. Councillors, the Cradle Road shopping precinct currently comprises a liquor shop, a takeaway food shop and three vacant shops. There's a total of 8 car parking spaces that are currently provided directly outside the shops, with short-term parking restrictions applied, and there's long-term parking for staff available at the rear of the shopping precinct. Further to that, there's an additional space for 80 on-street car parking parallel parking areas located within the immediate vicinity of the shopping precinct within an approximate 1-minute walk. Council officers conducted a parking survey on a Friday evening and a Saturday during the day, with these times being seen as the peak parking in the precinct. The survey indicated that of the 8 car parking spaces directly outside the shops, a maximum parking occupancy was 7 spaces occurring on a Friday evening and 5 spaces on a Saturday morning. The overall survey results also considered the 88 parking spaces available within the area, and with a showed a maximum occupancy of 23% on a Saturday. Given the survey outcome, it's considered that there's sufficient parking available directly outside the shops in the surrounding area of the precinct, and as a result, the recommendations put to council to acknowledge that fact that the current parking provision exceeds the current demand for parking and will cater for future demands associated with the Cradle Road precinct, and recommends that some minor improvement works be undertaken to formally line mark the 8 spaces that are currently available.
All done. Thanks, Mr. Stokes. Councillor Ramsay.
You've said there's an additional 80 parking spaces on the road.
Yep.
Where have you gone?
Refer councillors to Appendix 1 of the report. So they're on-street parking parallel to the curb.
Yep, and how far and up?
So the red lines on that plan indicate where you would get 88 cars should you need to. So there was, the officers have essentially said, all right, a one-minute walk from the shops, what parking's available, 88 spaces, of which at the peak time, 23% were occupied.
Peak, okay.
Yeah.
Is there any councillor required any further clarification? Do you have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that, Mr Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Mendes. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
Happy to second that, Mr
seconded
Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Madelick. So moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Madelick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item 12.7. Mr Baggio.
Thank you, Mr Mayor.
Sorry, Mr Mayor, could I move this as put?
Moved as put by Councillor Medlick.
I would like to second.
Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Mr Baggio, again.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. This report relates to a proposed retail development on land which is located on the corner of Hume Drive and Hillay Road. The particular site which is the subject to the application is currently used as a car park for an existing retail development, which is known as the North Wade Shopping Centre, which contains food and retail premises and has direct frontage to Hillay Road. To the east of the site, opposite Hillay Road, is the Taylor's Hill Shopping Centre, and to the west of the site, across an existing conservation reserve, a native vegetation, grassland reserve, is an existing school, the Springside College. Back in 2012, the council approved a site-specific development plan which authorised the construction of a five-storey, in effect, an apartment building which contained 30 dwellings and associated car parking. That's never been proceeded with, and the land is still being used as a car park for the adjoining retail premises. The current proposal is to amend the development plan to, in effect, replace the previous apartment building, the five-storey apartment building, with a three-level retail development. It essentially comprises six retail premises at ground floor and then two levels of car parking to cater both for the proposed development but also the existing. So overall, the development is proposed to have a total of 76 on-site car parking. So we gave informal notification of the proposal, and which resulted in seven objections being received essentially from the existing business operators of the retail premises. The grounds of objection were quite detailed, but if I could characterise the main grounds of objection were around the loss of the customer car parking during the construction phase of the development, which might be 12 or 18 months, and also the provision and future availability of appropriate car parking for the existing retail premises, given that the current car park is located on the site which is now being proposed for this development. And there was also concerns about the effect of the loss of that car park on the viability of the existing retail premises. So in terms of the assessment of the application, from an urban design perspective, officers consider that the proposed development, the three-level retail development, is probably preferred to the five-level apartment building in terms of fitting in with the surrounding area. We do acknowledge, however, the concerns of the existing business operators in terms of loss of car parking during the construction phase and also the future availability of car parking. In terms of the first issue relating to the loss of car parking, if I can take Council to Appendix 2 of the report, which is on page 155, it's a little bit hard to tell, but there is some existing on-street indented car parking on Union Drive. There's also a car parking area on Becker Way, which is car parking that's essentially provided for the school. And as mentioned before, there's also car parking potentially available within the Taylor's shopping centre, which is directly opposite the site on Gilway Road, where there would be access by traffic lights to a proposed development. In terms of the future accessibility of the new car park, again, that was an issue that concerned us in terms of the assessment of the application. And so to that end, it's proposed that in the event that the council supports the application, that the applicant is required to, in effect, enter into the Section 173 agreement with the council to ensure that the car parking within the development is available to the existing business operators in perpetuity. So on that basis, Mr. Mayor's recommended that the proposal be supported by council in accordance with the recommendation of the report.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to ask for clarification in regards to the car park in question. Is that private land or is it common land?
For you, Mr. Mayor, the land which is subject to the current application is on a separate lot, notwithstanding the fact that it's a bit of a strange situation, notwithstanding the fact that in effect, it's the car park for the existing retail development. Between the car parking area and the back of the existing retail premises, there is an area of common property which provides access to the back of the shops and also has a number of car parking spaces.
However, I'm led to believe, Mr. Mayor, by reading the report, that's actually private land. That some of this, the red subject site on 154, that's owned by the owner of the land, is that right?
Please, yes.
So basically, just a further question, Mr. Mayor, out of the goodness of their heart, they've allowed car parking to exist. Technically speaking, they could fence that off and say private property, no parking available. Is that right?
Technically, they could, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Daniel, councillors require further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Kesich.
Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Question for Mr. Baggio. If a developer resulted to proceed with the original plan to build a five-storey building, do we know how many car spaces then would be planned on that one? Would it be the same amount, the 75, or would be less, or would be any for these shop owners to use? Or?
Yeah, my understanding, I don't remember exactly the number of car parking spaces, but my understanding was that the previous proposal for the apartment building included car parking both for the apartments and also the existing retail development.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Councillor Mendes.
Can I ask how many members of the community were consulted? And I'm including all the schools in the area, and I'm hoping I haven't got a conflict of interest because I work there. So I just want to make sure that it's okay first.
Mr. Baggio, can you answer that?
Sorry, I work at the school. That?
I work at the school, so I'm just hoping there's no conflict of interest because it's in the same area.
Can you repeat your question, please?
I want to know how many members of the community were consulted, because I'm wondering whether the schools have been notified for the issues that's going to happen with parking. I can just see it now. There's massive issues with parking there at the moment as it is, morning and night. And if you're going to take that facility, that car parking away, great, it's going to create more car parking. And it is, it's private land, but for over the last few years, all the other land that's there that's fenced off, we've been told we're never allowed to use it because it's been native vegetation and it's a protected area. So we're now going to build on a protected area. I'm really confused.
But they're not building on a protected
area. Mr. Baggio, can you answer that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. In terms of who was notified of the application, I don't have the exact details with me, but generally speaking, we would notify the adjoining and opposite, if you like, owners and occupiers. So it would certainly have been the existing businesses on Goulet Road. Probably, it would have been the owners and occupiers of land to the north of Hume Drive. And I would also assume that we would have notified the school.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Is there any... Okay, Sir Ramsey.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've been waiting patiently, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Now, I'm going to pretend to be naive for 30 seconds or less, and you all know that I'm not. When it was going to be five-storey, the car park that was currently, that we're all talking about, was put down there and it would have catered for the five-storey, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. So we're actually getting a lesser development. It's going three-storey high,
yes,
with the same amount of car parking space, yes?
In terms of the total number of car parking spaces... I can't say it's exactly the same, but there was provision for car parking both for the apartment building and the existing.
Okay. Now, I'm confused because the shop owners that are there now would have signed probably knowing that it was going to be a five-storey high development. Would that be the case, seeing the permit was let?
No, I don't believe so. The existing retail development predated the 2012 approval for the apartment buildings.
Okay.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've just got three areas, Bob. First and foremost, the airspace position, that was known and stated on the contract at some point in time when the shop owners took possession. That was a known on contract that the airspace was not theirs.
So it
it's common.
Yeah. So it's on the title.
Yep. That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Two is that right? The 173. When you say it's in perpetuity, just a clarification. Perpetuity means to say that's it. It belongs to the development.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Forever.
Okay. And the third point is that, as Councillor Majdic pointed out, and thank you very much, what instrument is there to ensure that the private land can be used for car parking whilst construction is happening? Is there any instrument? Because what was just said there worries me. If someone puts up a fence and says no car parking, what happens?
It's private land.
I understand what it is, but what happens?
So... as I mentioned before, where the car park is at the moment, the existing car park, is essentially the development site for this development. So
whilst construction happens, that is no longer available.
Correct, yes.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm only looking whilst it happens.
Yeah, and that's the concern of the business operators, clearly. Because
what's the alternative? Is the developer
proposing
an alternative?
There's no alternative on the site, clearly, but there is... car parking available in the surrounding area. It's not ideal because it's not on the site, but there is some indented car parking located on street on Hume Drive.
Yes. Yeah, I see that.
There's the shopping centre opposite that could be utilised.
Yeah.
And then potentially there's also the existing car parking which is provided for the school on Becker Way.
Mr. Mayor, for the point of clarity, are we in a position to hold this over and ask the developer to contact the private developer and get some
form of legal agreement to give car parking whilst there is construction? Are we in a position to ask?
Mr. Bean?
Just to hold it over until that point is made clear?
Mr. Mayor, I don't wish to defer this because it's going to be a construction site.
Correct.
So why would you want to have people parking in a construction site? That's dangerous.
Sorry, I'm not
We've done it in Melton where we had to close down parking for our businesses. I know it was inconvenient, but in this case it's private land. It's like saying, Councillor Hardy, open up your gates and let people park in your driveway. It's private land.
I'm sorry, what I'm putting is that is separate from the construction zone.
No, it's not. It's the construction zone. If you look at your map, it's actually the construction.
By somebody else.
Yes. What do you mean owned by somebody else? The somebody else is the applicant.
Same developer.
Yes.
Well,
It's going to be a construction site. I don't understand what the confusion is.
I understood that the land was separate.
No.
No, sorry. I picked up a point that I...
That's okay.
Does any councillor require further clarification?
Thank you very much, Councillor Madden.
Yes, Councillor Mendes?
Is it range of size in comparison to other facilities? I haven't seen anything along Goulet Road that's three storeys high in that area.
Well, Mr. Mayor, can I just answer that? It's either a three-storey
or
a five-storey, which is what it currently is now. So the applicant is actually reducing its size. Mm-hmm. So they've actually got now a five-storey building. If they were to build tomorrow, they can close off the whole car park, which is private property, Mr. Mayor, if I'm wrong, according to the report, and build a five-storey apartment block.
Well, then, actually did something about providing proper infrastructure for schools and car parking and businesses, because if that goes ahead the way it is now, I think it's going to create more demands, especially during construction.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move this.
Nobody has any more clarification? Moved by Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Yes, I would like to second.
Seconded by Councillor Kisich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? We're going to debate. Councillor Medlick, would you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In regards to this item, I understand that the surrounding area is very busy. I understand that. I know that there's a lot of schools around that area and there's native grassland and vegetation that you can't actually use as a car park. State government has checked. I know that the local member, Natalie Hutchins, has checked a couple of years ago, and we cannot touch that for car park. This is private property, Mr. Mayor. Basically, they can build, as of today, they can start construction, a five-storey building. That's what's on the agenda at the moment. We're actually reducing that to three. It's going to be less of an eyesore than five, if some people think five is an eyesore. There is going to be some teething problems while it's going to be constructed, but the Section 173 in perpetuity, Mr. Mayor, they're going to be able to share the car park. And I'm sure that even some of the school can probably share the car park as well. There won't be any distinction whether there's a parent or somebody that's using the shops, I would think. So, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to support this.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Councillor Mendes.
In the time that this is actually being constructed, I have really grave concerns about the safety of the people that are going to be in that area, children, parents, and I think the businesses are going to be severely infected because there's going to be nowhere to park in that particular time. And I am absolutely appalled that that whole area, in terms of the way that a school's been built, two schools, childcare centre, all those businesses, with native vegetation and there's no facilities to park and we're building something now, those facilities have been there for 10 years and they're not three-storey. Single-storey facilities, and I actually wonder whether that contract is correct because I've not heard anything about this until I saw this document about these shops being built there, and I don't believe it fits neighbourhood character. I've seen nothing along Goulet Road that even reflects that, and I think that we're starting to allow developers to get away with whatever they want, and it really concerns me about what I'm seeing in the City of Melton.
Good. Councillor Kisich, you wish to say something?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just like to say that it's a private land, and if I need to choose in between a five-storey and a three-storey, I have to choose three-storey. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any other councillor wish to speak?
Councillor Ramsey. Oh, Mr. Mayor. when it comes to development, regardless of when it happens or how it happens, it's a disruptive influence. And just look at the road, the Western Highway and Thornhill Park. It creates disruption regardless of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. This developer has a permit in his hot little hand that says he can build 5-storey. We can't take that away from him. We can't do anything about that. And he's created the car park on private property. So at the end of the day, I believe, and I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, that the shopkeepers have signed the contracts that say they were aware of it going up higher at some point there with the airspace. And so when it comes to me to say it's going down, the current permit says 5-storey, we're going down to 3-storey, we're going to make it happen, then I think it's almost a win-win for neighbourhood character and surrounds. You know, there was bedlam in Bakery Square and Wallace Square whilst we, as a council, were doing the development. Every time we go out there and build something, it's going to create a bit of havoc. And hopefully that the affected shopkeepers will find with the future development in 18 months to 2 years, they see more people coming to their premises because it's more attractive to stay on that side of the road, not less. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay.
Yes, Mr Mayor.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much, Mr Mayor. Under consideration, and thank you very much to Councillor Maglick for pointing out the car parking position, but temporary car parking happens at every building site, and every developer builder has to take in certain requirements under the road traffic, OH&S and Vic Roads. They have to accommodate all those areas to ensure a safety passageway of residents, of vehicle traffic and pedestrians. It happens on every building site. This is the requirement of this gentleman over and above what we would put forward. So he has a permit. There's nothing we can do to prevent. He's brought it down from 5 to 3. I applaud him on that. And his future requirements to parking, he will have to accommodate Vic Roads. Not council, Vic Roads. He will have to accommodate WorkSafe. Same thing. That's the passageway of pedestrians, that's the passageway of vehicle traffic, and also to and from the site. That is a requirement. And he'll also have to clean up the road if there's mesh to the site. So all those things being said, I support the permit and the proposal.
Councillor, did you wish to sum up?
Yeah, Mr Mayor, I just wanted to finalise just a few words to say that I understand Councillor Mendez's concern, because obviously she lives that every day, the traffic. And I get phone calls and emails from residents about that particular area. But at the end of the day, we didn't build the school, state government did, and they have no regard for car parking. At the end of the day, the native vegetation is state government declared, not councils. We didn't declare that as state vegetation, state government did. So in regards to that, Mr Mayor, this is private property. If we were to knock this on the head, basically two things could happen. The developer could turn around and build a 5-storey building, or they could take it to VCAT, and I can guarantee you that VCAT would knock it on the head and say, here's your permit, because we don't have a leg to stand on. It's private property, Mr Mayor, and he's willing to even go into a Section 173. I haven't even determined whether that's even mandatory. Is that a mandatory thing that they have to enter into 173?
For you, Mr Mayor, it's not a mandatory requirement, but I've discussed it with the landowner and he's agreeable to that requirement.
So, Mr Mayor, that just goes to prove they don't actually even have to share their car park and they've gone above and beyond. It's a smaller development. It's going to be available for car parking for all the shop owners that are now concerned. I know, as Councillor Ramsay said, it's going to be a few teething problems until we get it up and running. But, Mr. Mayor, it's obvious that the developer or the landowner has more than compromised in this situation and wanted to work for the betterment of everyone in that area. So, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to support this.
Okay. Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Kesich. All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, could I call for a division, please?
Division called. All those in favour? Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Turner. Against? Councillor Mendes. I declare the motion carried. 12.10. Mr. Watson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hopefully that's working. Council has committed to the extension of the existing kindergarten in the rapidly growing crest, and Council was successful in gaining $350,000 in funding from the Victorian School Authority through the Children's Facilities Capital Program to continue this project, and with Council providing the rest of the funding towards this project. The project is going to add an extra kindergarten room, additional outdoor play space, upgraded amenities, staff offices and upgraded entrance and security systems. Through the funding program, we're committed to deliver the completed project by February 2020. And recently, council officers have conducted an expression of interest, and that was followed by detailed design and tender documentation and release of the contract to four shortlisted contractors. Following that evaluation, as you can see, there's a recommendation that Council awards the contract 19045 for the construction of Diggers Rest Kindergarten Extension to Q Construction Proprietary Limited for the sum of $902,040.29. And delegate to the Chief Executive Officer the execution of all contract documents and advise all tenderers accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Watson. Does any councillor require any clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Mendes. Do I have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. 12.11. Ms. Daniel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report deals with a proposal to transition Lead West from a company to a special committee. Lead West Limited, or Lead West, was established as a company in 2007 as a regional organisation for Melbourne's West. Since that time, Lead West has had a focus on advocacy for the region and has been a non-partisan and not-for-profit membership-based organisation. In order to establish the Lead West Committee under the Special Committee provisions of the Local Government Act, all six councils, and that is Brimbank, Hobsons Bay, Melton, Maribyrnong, Moonee Valley and Wyndham, are required to adopt identical instruments of delegation and terms of reference, both of which you'll see set out at the appendices, which will effectively enable the committee to meet as one. The current objective of Lead West is to remain the same under the new special committee arrangements and a new 10-year strategic plan and a 4-year rolling implementation plan will be prepared. In terms of financial considerations, taking in out of number 4 of the report, the aim of the transition to the special committee and adoption of the new strategic plan for Lead West is to provide a more cost-effective funding model for each council and a more focused outcome-driven approach which is aligned with the agreed regional priorities. It is estimated that approximately $400,000 will be available to transfer once all the entitlements and funding commitments have been paid as part of the transition process from the company to the special committee. Funds will be allocated via the committee from the carry-forward budget for the development of the new strategic plan. And then the ongoing budget for the Lead West Committee will include two components. Firstly, to deliver the projects in the 4-year implementation plan, recommendations will be made to member councils for consideration of their council's annual budget process, and secondly, the base contribution for the first year is proposed to be a fee of $40,000, and that will apply equally to all the councils and will be reviewed by the committee on an annual basis. As I said, the instrument of delegation and terms of reference are appended, and the lengthy recommendation is as set out at the start of this report, noting that we do need to include the names, or the name of the councillor and the stand-in. So two councillor names have to be inserted into that officer lengthy officer recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Daniel. Does any council require any clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I move.
Moved by Councillor Hardy. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Actually, Mr. Mayor, can I move the motion with the names?
No, well, I'm going to move that's what I'm saying to you.
Well, you didn't add the names, Councillor Hardy.
Looking at the Mayor, but if it needs to be, right. Mr. Mayor, I move that Ken Hardy, Councillor Hardy, be the nominated person, and the proxy be Councillor Ramsey, and the report be noted.
And it would be really nice if someone self-nominated yourself.
Oh, very much so. Very much so.
Moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Ramsey, without the names inserted into the report.
Mr. Mayor, just a question. Will the rest of the recommendation points 1 to 10 still be in there? Like, Councillor Hardy didn't have to read all that. Can we just assume that that will be in there?
Report as noted.
No, it's actually the report as set out in 10 parts, with the inclusion of the names of Councillor Hardy's, the delegate, and Councillor Ramsey's. Yes.
Perfect wording. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you very much.
Can I second that, Mr. Bean? Mr. Mayor, sorry.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Once again, moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. 12.12. Ms. Daniel again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to present to council the results of the community consultation regarding interest in what live stream of council meetings. At the ordinary meeting of council held on 10 December 2018, council resolved to conduct community consultation regarding live stream on the outcome of that consultation. The 2019 communication survey was conducted as a door-to-door interview-style survey of 804 households, which were approached randomly from across the urban precincts of the municipality during the months of March and April 2019. Included in the survey relevant to this report was the following question. On a scale from 0, very unlikely, to 10, very likely, how likely would you be to watch a live stream of council meetings or a council app? The average score for the live streaming part of the question, based on this 0 to 10 scale, was 2.38. So on the face of that low average score would indicate that most of the community is unlikely to watch a live stream of the council meeting. As with these things, there's, of course, two ways to look at it.
Thank you.
If you look at the percentage of people who said they were very likely rather than the average, that is 11.2%, who gave a rating of 8 or more, then in light of the overall population of Melton, this does become a figure in the several thousands. There was also a question posted to join the conversation page on Council's website, which was how likely would you be to watch a live stream of Council meetings? And in the period of April 9 May 2019, 24 responses in total were received on that join the conversation page, and the average score there was 7.42. That is the executive summary, Mr. Mayor, and the officer recommendation is simply the council notes the report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Is there any council require further clarification? Councillor Ramsay?
And I'm very specific about this. I asked our governance officer, John, for the question when it was brought up last month. Was there any time that these 804 people that were surveyed were given, not only would they like to watch it, but it comes at a cost of blah?
That the question in front of you was the question put.
So in other words,
and the
no,
way it was put.
Ms. Denyer. So at the end of the day, do you think that if they knew it was going to come at a cost of up to $60,000 per annum or $40,000 per annum, that 2% or that 11% might have wavered a little bit?
The question was not put and I simply couldn't speculate. That was the question put.
Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, was it 40,000 per annum?
It was more than that.
I don't believe it was. There was a cheaper option. No, there was a cheaper option. There was a few options.
We can beg to differ.
Yeah.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I don't have the figures in front of me.
I think it was actually a lot more than that to begin with. What the one that council was actually promoting and deciding upon without the ads and without, because I've gone away and researched it, was in the $60,000 range. And if that amount had been put in with the question, I think we may have found that something of the response might have been a little bit different. Having said that, 24 people, when I went on to other councils to research it, and I know it's only to note it, and I know eventually I will lose this argument, but when I went on to other councils to note how many people had tapped into their live streaming, it was in the vicinity of 22, 23, 24 per meeting. Now, when you look at 24 people out of 160,000, it doesn't seem like value for money for me.
Divide it into 60,000.
Thank you. I'll leave it at that.
Does any councillor have any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. On page 217, are these prices correct in regards to the approximate setup cost is $17,000 per venue and an ongoing of $1,260 per month? So I'm not a mathematician, but I have used my calculator. That does not equal $60,000 a year. Does it not, Mr. Mayor? Am I wrong?
Okay, $30,000.
That's a lot different to $60,000, Councillor Ramsay. And it's not $30,000 every year. It's a setup of $17,000 in the first year and $1,260 per meeting thereafter.
I think most
it's a lot different to $60,000. So once you start quoting
very good
numbers,
councillor, settle down, please. Does any councillor need any further clarification? Okay. Do you have a mover for the motion, please?
I'm happy to note the report as per recommended.
Mover, Councillor Medlick. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll note.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. 12.13. Ms. Daniel again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is for council to make a decision as to whether or not to enter into a lease with the AAA Next Group Proprietary Limited for the purposes of residential care and respite facility at 54 Pinnacle Crescent, Brookfield. At the ordinary meeting of council on the 4th of March 2019, council resolved to commence the process to enter into a lease with the AAA Next Group, or the lessee, for the premises at 54 Pinnacle Crescent, which included placing a public notice in the local newspaper calling for submissions in relation to the proposed lease. That public notice was published in the Melton and Moorabool Star Weekly on the 12th of March, with submissions closing on the 9th of April. No objections were received in the 28-day period that followed the notice. It is therefore recommended that the lease be granted in substantially the same form as that is attached at Appendix 1. And the officer recommendation is as set out above. And there is no financial considerations other than the rental that would be collected and no risk, and I therefore make the recommendation set out on page 224. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Daniel. Does any council require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'm happy to... Yes. I'll leave you, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Hardy. I move, yeah. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second it, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? Declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move this as put.
Moved by Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Yes. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second.
Seconded by Councillor Kessich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Reports from delegates point to other bodies. Councillor Mendes.
Unfortunately, due to personal reasons, I didn't get to do a lot over last month. However, there was two outstanding events that I'd have to comment on. And I wish Councillor Carley was here, but the Mental Health Forum, it's 2 years in a row that I've actually been able to attend that. And I actually took a Year 9 boy from Catholic Regional College with me, who I actually tutor. And his words on the way out were resounding, "When's the next one?" Mm. And he's a student that requires all that support, and he got a lot out of it. I hope he's read the book that he took away with him as well. But the talkers, the guest speakers, and the fact that we had students come out openly and talk about bullying that they'd experienced and were able to express that in a large audience, I thought showed a lot of confidence, and I really appreciated what took place on that night. And so I hope that we do continue to do that in some format next year. And then the grants night, to see the community grants night, to see people getting grants. The City of Melton Council is absolutely acknowledged for the great work they do in the grants, because I don't know of any other council in Victoria, let alone Australia, that gives out the amount of money that we do to our volunteers and to our community. And I think that's what makes Melton the place it is. So I really commend the council on that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor Kessich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the 9th of May, Minds Matter, Youth Mental Health Forum. On the 14th of May, meeting with the residents on state of trees in Caroline Springs and cleanliness of lakes. And on the 22nd, I have a meeting with the residents on additional parkings in Caroline Springs. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May 2nd, community involvement with Melton Development. Development on the road leading into Melton and the service lane that's to be designed. On the 6th of May, Darling Ford Library and Arts Strategy. 7th was the Crown Industry, the Building Industry Seminar on Future Growth, both residential and commercial in the western suburbs. 8th was the Minister for Health, the Melton Health Opening. Attended by all. The semi-annual grants check presentation, Arnold Creek on the 8th. The 10th was Preventing Family Violence Committee. The 10th of May, also the Melton Hospital Group and Brendan O'Connor meeting. 14th was WAVE Reference Group. The 15th, the Honourable Steve McGee meeting on the railway crossings, the two crossings, that's Coburn's Road and Station Road, and the future of advanced signalling to ensure they operate independently. The May 16th, Tabcorp Relay for Life. 17th was noise attenuation fence, which thank you very much, Bob Baggio. He's not here, but he's done a magnificent job in, keeping the residents up to date. The 21st of May, with the ARLEC soil turning in Truganina and a new development. 21st, 223 meeting. 23rd and 24th, the MAV National Summit Conference, Future of Local Government. 2 days of exploring the future of local government, where and what relevance is there going to be, how we actually raise the awareness that local government is the future and is the first point of call of all residents. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Hardy. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended the Early Years Partnership, Zonta's 50th birthday afternoon tea with Councillor Mendes, the bowling club presentation evening with you and your wife, the Melton Interfaith Network with Councillor Madelick, Councillor Ibushi and yourself. The council thank you dinner for our volunteers, which was a sensational night. And you just can add the deputy mayors to the previous four councillors I mentioned. International Day for Ida Hobbit celebrations. And please don't ask me to abbreviate that, but it includes us all, regardless of what gender, religion, sex you may... Oh, well, sex is gender. Women Making It Happen, briefing with Councillor Madelick. Comedy for a Cause. Now, that was sensational. I loved it. It was fantastic. The Rotary Club of Caroline Springs, attended by yourself and also Councillor Madelick. Section 223, which attended by all. Thank you to the community that took the time to put in effective submissions. The Nature Stewards graduation, I only caught the tail end of that. And I want to actually note that Katie, one of the exhibitors there, printed up a book and it was absolutely sensational. I just hope it gets published and gets into our libraries soon. I also went along to the historical discussion that was in the Bullum Room about the life of Sir Herbert Opperman. Oppie, as he's well known, and I look forward to reading his book. Reconciliation Week, the flag raising with yourself, Mr. Mayor, the LTP 10th birthday, yourself and Councillor Madelick were there. But I want to actually put out a huge thank you to David O'Connor and the community of Diggers Rest. There was 50 odd people there for the biggest morning tea last Thursday. Thank you to the contributions from my fellow councillors, Hardy, Kesich and the Mayor donated the book, I believe, which went off really, really well. I was privileged to do the auction yet again, and we raised a total of $6,400.
Congratulations.
That's it, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Middleton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended the Lifelong Learning Festival Project Working Group. A bit of a mouthful. The Lifelong Learning Festival dates will be from Friday the 18th of October to 27th of October. Children's Week will also fall within this week, which is a great opportunity for the festival to highlight children's learning within its programs. The MAV State Conference was on and Mr. Bean kindly assisted me in that area. Common themes were around waste and recycling, cost shifting and the environment. Section 223, thanks to all the residents who participated in that and put in so much time and effort in their submissions, and also for the staff as well, well done. Budget time is always a stressful time and the staff have really helped us get through it. The Young Minds Matter Youth Mental Health Forum at Caroline Springs, I concur with what Councillor Mendes has said. There were some certain parts that actually brought me to tears when they up and basically shared very, you know, sad and intimate stories about themselves, had a lot of courage. We had great guest speakers and I do commend Councillor Carley, and also the staff that worked hard, and also my fellow councillors for supporting it in the first place. Of course, we had Mother's Day. Yay to the mums. Hope everyone got spoiled. That's a mum. The Melton Interfaith Network event to learn a bit more about the Ramadan fasting, which was really, really interesting. Women Making It Happen with Councillor Ramsey, and save the dates for 16 days of activism, which is from November the 25th to 10th of December, and it'll be promoting women and gender equity. Also, I wanted to say a few upcoming events, Mr. Mayor. We've got the Hannah Watts Park opening this upcoming Thursday, the 30th at 12 noon. Driving past it, it looks absolutely amazing, and I know that our residents will really, really love it. Later the same evening, Council will be launching an exhibition for artist Wayne Quillen's photography work at Caroline Springs Gallery, and that's on Thursday the 30th at 6:30pm at Caroline Springs. And a great way to start the winter, Mr. Mayor, on Saturday the 1st of June, there will be a family fun day at Caroline Springs Centre Sports Precinct from 10am to 12 noon. So includes roving entertainment, coffee van, come and try tennis, kids activities, basketball, netball and football and face painting. As well as this on the same day, Mr. Mayor, as you know, Melton Willows Quilting Group will be having the exhibition at Melton Community Hall at 11am. Hopefully you can come, hopefully the residents can come out and see their wonderful artistry in their quilting. I also would like to mention, Mr. Mayor, it would be remiss of me to commend our former Councillor DeSantis, Melissa DeSantis. As we all know, she had to step down for personal reasons, but I want to commend her for her absolute dedication to this council, to her residents in Melton. She will be greatly missed. Not only was she a great councillor, but she also became a close friend of mine. I wish her and her family all the very best. And I also would like to pass on my sadness to see our assistant to the PA, Emma, move on. I'm not sure if that's confidential, Mr. Mayor, but now it's not.
Well, it's not now.
She has worked fantastically with the Mayor and councillors, and I wish her all the best in her new role in Melton Council. I hope that wasn't confidential, Mr. Mayor. I just put my foot in it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's all.
They wouldn't listen to her, so
that's
okay.
All right. That's fine.
Anyway, I'll just go through a few things, because a lot of the things we all do the same during the month, but obviously the semi-annual grants was a great night. The Botanic Garden on Sunday, we had the red tree, it was unveiled, and you need to go down and have a look at that. I don't know what John's doing with it now, but it's right in the middle, it's got a focus, and it looks fantastic, the way what they've done with it. So if you get a chance to go down and have a look. The Relay for Life at Tabco Park, a couple of the highlights for the month. The Iftar dinner by the Melton Interfaith Network. That, as Councillor May says, it taught us about their fasting rules and bits and pieces. So that was a good day. But we had to move on early because we had the volunteers dinner after that, which was a fantastic night. It was great to see so many of the volunteers there on the night and being recognised. Nature Stewards, a new programme that's been run over the last, I think it was a 10-week or 8-week programme at the weekend, and it was good to see people connecting with nature with different ideas. I just hope that the funding for it continues so that it can be an ongoing thing to engage more people with the community in the Reconciliation launch today. There was two, actually, there was a reconciliation launch, and there was also, after we had the long walk, where approximately 100 school students walked to council. They had a smoking ceremony outside, then they come in with our speeches. So it was good to see the young ones getting involved. LTP this evening. 10 years it's been running. What a great programme it is. 10th anniversary tonight, unfortunately. The three of us couldn't stay. There's a beautiful looking cake there, so we missed out, but never mind. That's fine. Thank you. We'll move on. Notes of motion 633. It was originally put up by Councillor Carley, but unfortunately, she's not here tonight, so maybe some of the other councillors would be happy to move.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that, Mr. Mayor. Notice was given at the ordinary meeting of council held on the 29th of April 2019 of my intention to move the following motion at the ordinary meeting of council to be held on the 27th of May 2019. The council to Public Transport Victoria PTV and ask it to immediately install a bus shelter at the bus stop between Carbine Court and Cornwall Park Court on the Diggers Rest Commodity Road in Toolan Vale.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Moved by Councillor Mendes. Do I have a second?
I'm happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose? I declare the motion carried. Councillors, questions without notice?
Sorry, Mr. item 15.2.
Yeah.
I would like to move an alternate motion to this one. Okay. Is that possible?
Yeah.
I would like to move that a future briefing come to councillors to the current and or future resources required in council's interfaith area slash space.
So moved by Councillor Medlick with an
alternative word. I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
And seconded, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Councillors' questions without notice? Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, in an earlier report, there was 155 property owners that failed their environmental enhancement program. Can I get some feedback, and it doesn't have to be today, but can I get some feedback over, and all councillors be logged into what sort of strategies we've got going? Because there's a number of developers I've seen that are hitting the maximum amount that I think we need to be looking at alternatives for. So can I put forward the question that what strategies are taking place to deal with these 155 property owners apart from getting them to pay rates, and what sort of strategies we can look at increasing the percentage rate to the old 96% that we used to have?
You're happy for that to come back to briefing?
It's more, yeah, on notice.
Okay, no worries. Any further questions without notice? Motions without notice?
Mr. Mayor, I would need a clarification. Is it my notice of motion that I have before me not appropriate for notices without, motions without notice, or rather urgent business?
No, motions without notice.
Thank you. Therefore, I would like to move that the Council write a letter to Prime Minister of Australia, Morrison, congratulating him on re-election of his Liberal government. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kissidge. Any urgent business, Councillors?
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Mayor. I'm also in that same spot as Council. Notice without... The motion without notice, that the council write to the state government, the Andrews state government, and thanking them for their commitment to the Melton Public Hospital by way of the $2.3 million infrastructure commitment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillors, any urgent business?
Mr. Mayor, I don't have urgent business, but I do have a question in regards to Councillor Kessich's motion without a notice. Would it be considered urgent? Because it's a letter, and receiving something a month later potentially, like, can we sort of just put it through now so we can send the letter off pretty much within the month of his election?
Double of you, thank you very much. Yes.
So we'll have to move by Councillor Kessich. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I second that.
Do you want to... Okay. We need to put a motion up to consider it as urgent business first.
Yes.
Do I need to read it again?
No. Just put it up as urgent business.
Ask for it to be considered as urgent business, and then we'll vote and accept that, and then move on.
Please, if we could include this notice of motion as within the urgent business. Thank you.
Okay. Moved by Councillor Kessich to seconder. Seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose? I declare the motion carried. Now you can put your... Right. Put your motion up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Do I read it now?
Yes.
Once again?
Yes.
Sorry. I'd like to move a notice of motion that the Council writes a letter to Prime Minister of Australia, Scott Morrison, congratulating him on the re-election of his Liberal government. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich.
I'd like to second that.
Moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any Councillor oppose? Declare the motion carried. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The relevancy of the motion I've just put, given that the money has just been made available today through the Victorian Government, if it is relevant, should that be put in urgent business to respond to the Andrew State Government?
Thanks, Cathy.
Councillors, happy for that?
I'm happy for it to be considered as urgent business, Mr. Mayor.
Even though it'll be that urgent, it's going to take 2 years before we get any place.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I move.
Councillors,
I move the motion.
No, you have to move the urgency.
That's what I'm doing.
Move, seconded.
I seconded it.
Councillor Mayor looks seconded.
I seconded it, that be urgent.
Okay. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
No.
Declare the motion carried. No, Ken.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That the council write to the Andrew State Government and thank them for their $2.3 million commitment to the Melton Build Hospital Program and future commitments. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Move back to Councillor Hardy.
Can I see clarification there?
Yep.
I'm going to be cheeky now.
Yep.
In comparison to our earlier discussion with the civic group, should we be asking Mr. Andrews and the Labor State Government when they're going to turn the first sod?
I think that's quite relevant. I think it is quite relevant. But I think first and foremost, Councillor, it would be appropriate if we did thank them first and foremost for their generosity for the 2.3. And the second point is at a later date, we should be definitely following through and saying, well, now we've got the business case. When does the business case actually prove, turn its head into an actual build program?
Mr. Councillor Hardy, what I was thinking of, we congratulate the Andrews government on their commitment to the $2.3 million for the business case, and we look forward to close negotiations and discussions going forward to make the hospital a reality for our community.
I think they're very wise words, Mr. Mayor, and I'd give ground to that.
Thank you for the funding. When can we expect to receive it? Pretty much. I'm just a straight black and white kind of person.
Please give us a timeline.
Yeah.
Right. Mover, Councillor Hardy, seconded. Councillor Ramsey, does any councillor oppose the motion? Declare the motion carried. Councillor Ramsey, you write that down and pass on to the office.
Oh, I can't remember what I said. It's on recording anyway for that reason.
If we had live streaming, it would have been easier.
No, the recording does the same.
Mr. Mayor, could I move a procedural motion that pursuant to section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated in 19.1.
I'd like to second
moved by Councillor Mealick, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please help yourself to some refreshments.
Thank you. We won't be long.
I think
in Melton.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in cold weather like this.
See you in a minute. Or two.